time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Good day, everybody. Hope you guys are having a good week. I'm not going to do a lot of pleasantries right now. We're just going to dive right into this because I got a lot to say about something. I don't know about a lot, but here we go. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tommy here at Point North Church during service gave a message. And part of that message, he talked about circumcision. And he was referencing a few verses in 1 Corinthians, right? Sort of, it's an awkward topic, right? I mean, the message wasn't specifically on circumcision, but it was a point in the message where he had to explain it a bit more. And I had thought as he was talking about it, about something, and then I just sort of, you know, I let it go, like, whatever. And then last Sunday, I was out of town, went to my old church, and wouldn't you know it, guess what topic he was talking about? Circumcision. Again, like awkward. This time the scripture reference was in Colossians. So I guess that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Circumcision. I know it's exciting. You're pretty excited about it. You're like, yes, finally. We're going to get into some awkward stuff. That's what's going to happen. But I'm going to need absolute seriousness. No laughing. No mind in the gutter. No horseplay, if you will. This is, you know, a big deal. Serious business. So let's dive right in. Since I am, you know, the worship pastor here at Point North, I am privy to Pastor Tommy's messages, and I just so happen to have a copy of that fateful message that he gave that day. Now, during that message, when I was listening in the auditorium as he was giving it, I heard him say this, and I went back to his notes and was able to find this. And this is from a Jewish historian. So circumcision was an embarrassment in the Roman world. Jewish historian Josephus stated during the age before Christ, it was common for Jewish men to undergo surgery to make themselves appear that they were uncircumcised to better fit into society. And that like had me think like, I actually, there was a lot I was thinking about. I couldn't actually think of anything other than, you know, were people back then in this time that Josephus, that Jewish historian was talking about, were they just whipping out their junk all willy nilly? Like when you were asked, are you Jewish? What are you? Are you a Jew? And you're like, yeah, I'm a Jew. Yes, sir. I am. Prove it. And you're like, all right, let me whip this bad boy out for you so you can take a gander at it. Then you're like, you pull it out and you like feast your eyes on this. And I just feel like it's pretty weird that happened. Cause again, that Jewish historian said to better fit in with society. And you think about what we do to fit in with society, certain clothes we wear, certain haircuts we get, you know, those are things to fit into society. And I was like, if this was such a common thing in society, we're just people walking around about going about their day with no pants on, or, you know, they didn't have pants. I guess they had robes or tunics or togas or whatever they had. They're just walking around commando style. Guys just acting like Tom Petty, free falling. It had to be an odd scene. Like if you had a time machine, and you went back there, were you like, wow, apparently pants are very optional. And or where like you were hanging out with some buddies, you know, you were Romans and you're like, look at that Jew over there. And you're like, how do you know that guy's a Jew? And you'll go, oh, never mind. I see it. You know, it's like, it's weird. I mean, I just imagine everybody just has everyone looking down at other people's nether regions all the time. It's like, excuse me, my eyes are up. My face is up here, not down there. And then the other person's like, I know. I just need to know. They got to know who I'm talking to. You know what I mean? So I mean, it's again, enough of the shenanigans. We need to be serious about this topic. get your mind out of the gutter, and we're going to get on to some real serious circumcision talk. So let's really get into what circumcision meant in the Old Testament compared to what it means in the New Testament, and we'll see if the meaning has changed over the years. So we're going to be going over three specific scriptures, and one's Genesis 17, 10 through 11. Then we're going to go Romans 2, 28 through 29, and Colossians 2, 11 through 12. So let's go to the Old Testament right now. Circumcision in the Old Testament was more than just like a physical procedure. It was an outward sign of the covenant between God and his chosen people from Israel. God first commanded circumcision to Abraham as a symbol of the promise that he made to him and his descendants. So you'll read that in Genesis 17, 10 through 11. God said, "Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you." And this act signified that Abraham's descendants were set apart as God's people, chosen to follow his laws and live in fellowship with him. And so circumcision wasn't just a cultural or health practice. It had deep spiritual significance, and it marked the beginning of God's special relationship with Israel, symbolizing, you know, the commitment that God's promises and laws. So to be circumcised, you were included in this sacred bond, a physical mark that distinguished the people of Israel from the nations around them. And in the Old Testament, this act of circumcision was essential for participation in the religious life of Israel. It was the mark of identity, a physical boundary that separated the people of God from the rest of the world. And the more I think of it, I just think it's weird, a procedure to something that, you know, you don't really share with others. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking in my current life, you know, we don't share our circumcisions or non-circumcision with anybody. It's not really nobody's business except for our wives, you know? And it got me thinking, why wasn't it an ear piercing or maybe a tattoo or a brand on your arm or your hand or something like that? Something that seems reasonable to distinguish yourselves from others who are not Jews. And I'm just thinking about this news that Abraham got, you know, talking that God tells him, you know, you're to be circumcised and the people of God need to be circumcised to follow God. This is what you have to do. To me, I'd be like, if Abraham came to me, we need to be circumcised. I'd be like, what's that? And he tells me, I'd be like, what's that? You said, I don't know about that. Seems I need to cut off my what? You know, like the what? And actually, I remember a scene in this movie called Year One with Jack Black and Michael Cera. And in that scene, Abraham explains how he's going to circumcise everyone that's there. And it's going to be, I'll just play the clip. It's only a minute long. You'll watch this. It's good stuff. It's funny. Because, you know.
No, no, no. So it shall be written and so it shall be done.
Let me get this straight. You're saying you have too much and you want to... You know, Abe, it's been a long day. We've all had a lot to drink. And I know that this foreskin thing sounds like a good idea now, but you might want to sleep on it. We can always cut it off in the morning. But if we do it now, there's just no way to get it back on there.
No, 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 trust me. It's going to be a very, very sleek look. This is going to catch on. I'm going to go get my good knife. Just wait right there. I'll be right back to cut your penises. Not the whole thing. You understand? Just the very tip. Then after, we're all going to have wine and sponge cake.
That's funny. That's good stuff right there. I mean, I can't say I'd probably be acting any different as an adult back then if I got the news. I mean, I was just a mere infant when I got circumcised, so no memory of it, thank the Lord. And you know what's weird is thinking about all this, I remember a conversation. I met a guy, an adult, a while back, who was getting circumcised like the next week. And he was talking about it, you know, pretty openly, which is weird to begin with. And I don't even remember the context of the conversation. I don't even remember who it was, to be honest with you. Just that I just remember, like, he was super jazzed for the circumcision. Bit over the top, if you ask me, right? I'm like, wow. So me being me, I said, you know, this procedure, it's kind of, it's a pretty big deal, you know, bigger than you think. You're not going to just go in, have it done, and stroll out of the hospital like nothing happened. I mean, you wouldn't even be leaving with some minor soreness. You're probably going to be in a wheelchair. You're going to be hurting because you can't walk. And he was like, what are you talking about? I said, well, when I got mine done, I didn't walk for a year. Yeah. But in all seriousness, if we look in the New Testament, we see that the concept of circumcision transforms from a physical sign to a spiritual reality. While circumcision in the Old Testament was a marker of physical descent and a sign of the covenant, in the New Testament, it becomes clear that true circumcision is not about outward appearances, but the inward transformation of your heart. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 2:28-29, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. So Paul emphasizes that true circumcision is a matter of the heart, something God does through his Spirit. It's no longer about following rituals or external acts, but about the transformation of one's inner life. This kind of circumcision is linked to the work of Christ in our hearts. And then in Colossians 2:11-12, Paul further explains the concept of spiritual circumcision. In him, which means Jesus, you were also circumcised, with circumcision not performed by human hands, your whole self ruled by the flesh, but put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the work of God who raised him from the dead. Here, Paul teaches that in Christ, believers undergo a spiritual circumcision, where the old self, bound by sin, is removed and replaced with new life in Christ. And this circumcision is not physical, but instead of work of the Holy Spirit, you know, symbolized by baptism. But the key difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament understanding of circumcision is that in the Old Testament, circumcision was external, you know, a physical sign of belonging to God's people, while the New Testament circumcision points to a radical change within. It's not about external rituals, but about what God does in our hearts. The physical act of circumcision was meant to symbolize a deeper truth that God desires purity and holiness in his people. However, true holiness comes not from human effort, but from God's work in our lives. Just as the Israelites were called to be set apart, Christians today are called to be set apart in heart and spirit, not just in external, observance. The change that matters is the transformation of the inner person through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Philippians 3:3 beautifully articulates this. For we are the circumcision who serve God by his Spirit, who boasts in Jesus Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh. True believers in Christ are those who have been circumcised in the heart, who worship God in spirit, and who place their confidence in Jesus, not in external rituals or human accomplishments. The call to circumcise our hearts is still relevant today in a world that often values outward appearances and external rituals. The Bible calls us to focus on the inner transformation that God desires. Just as circumcision in the Old Testament was a sign of God's covenant with his people, spiritual circumcision today is a sign of our personal relationship with Christ. It signifies our commitment to live according to God's will, not through our own strength, but by his Spirit. So if we can take a few minutes and reflect on spiritual circumcision, let's ask ourselves, have we allowed God to transform our hearts? Are we living as people who are set apart, not just outwardly, but inwardly, reflecting Christ's love and holiness in every aspect of our lives? Because that's what circumcision of the heart is, being led by His Spirit. Are we acting the right way? It's a good question, yeah. So that's what I have for you today. I know you guys have been foaming at the mouth for a good old circumcision talk, and we got one today. So, yeah, that's what I have, and I hope to see you on Wednesday.